We want to continue on this morning, and this is going to be lesson number two on the five offerings or the five sacrifices that God has ordained. And this goes under the heading of the five foundations that God gave to us after he brought his children out of Egyptian bondage. Real quickly, recapping lesson one, we saw that number one, of course, staying in the theme, that God has told us we are a royal priesthood, just as when he brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and he gave unto them that he wanted to make them a nation and a kingdom of priests. He gave the high priest an outfit by which he could be identified by. He gave the Levitical priesthood an outfit which they could be identified. Then he gave the whole nation an outfit by which they could be identified, which was the tzitzit, the tassels on the four corners of their garments, so that when you saw them, you recognized that they were a set apart to be a blessing to the world through God and a light that they would lead you to his house. We today are endued with, we clothe ourselves, we have an outfit, a uniform in our priesthood, which is the Holy Spirit. The only place you'll find that word endued used, it means to put on as a garment. And we have been endued. We have put on the Holy Ghost. This is my outfit. When I choose the days to walk in his Spirit, I am walking in the office of a priest. And we saw where today, even though we are not offering up one of the five sacrifices, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices, which are a type, a shadow of the physical sacrifices they offered up. Then we see that one of these sacrifices that we are offering up, of course, is the sacrifice of praise. We found out that as a priest that we have to have an altar and a sacrifice. Without an altar and a sacrifice, there is no need for a priest, because a priest can get nothing done. We have an altar and we have a sacrifice. And that altar is Jesus Christ, and that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. We found out there are three people involved in the bringing and giving of an offering to God, and that is the priest, the offerer, and I misspelled that, and God himself. It's like a marriage. There are three people involved in this contract. Each person involved, we found out then, receives a portion of this sacrifice. God himself received the richest portion, the blood and the fat, which we were told not to eat. It was not designed for us. It was designed for God, offered on the offering altar. And then the priest would get his portion, and the offerer would receive their portion. We then found out that there were different sacrifices for different sins, but they were also different sacrifices depending upon your social ranking. A priest, more was required of him when he sinned than a commoner. Then we found out that the word sacrifice, and this is of utmost importance in Hebrew, is korban, and it actually means to draw near or to come close. So now we have found out that altar is a high place, and that we have found out a sacrifice is to draw near. And now when we understand that we bring a sacrifice, this is not us giving something up, as we in the American language in Webster's dictionary would look at the word sacrifice, but is actually us drawing close. Now, I want us to relook at a verse we looked at in the beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And that is, we remember this first sacrifice where Cain and Abel both brought a sacrifice. And we find out that Cain ended up being wroth because God did not accept his sacrifice. And I think this lesson this morning, if you've been bored out of your gourd thus far, will begin to pique and tweak your interest in why we are studying the sacrifices, which is one of the languages that the Bible is written in. And that is, with an understanding of them, that when we look at this scripture in the New Testament, where the two sacrifices were brought by the two brothers, the first two born men in the earth, Cain and Abel, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. So the New Testament is reminding us of this. Then Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now, I want you to notice that it is the unspiritual eye, as we read this verse, that just makes us look at it like God favored Abel. He did not like Cain. And if we're not careful and we don't understand what a sacrifice really is, that it means to draw near, to come close, then we can have almost, in the very beginning of the Bible, we can almost get this idea that God likes some people, he doesn't like others. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse number 3, looking at these five sacrifices, I want to clarify at the very outset of this lesson the beauty of how sacrifice, meaning drawing near or coming closer, how God really sees what he has laid out. And when we can understand the pattern of what God has given us, then we will have a much greater joy as we understand what a sacrifice is. In Leviticus chapter 1, this is the book of the priests, he starts out, now I want you to hear this, he starts out in the book of the priests with you understanding the sacrifices. You're a royal priesthood. This is the book of the priests. So even though it may seem boring, we're going to get some spiritual insight. You see three ways. Leviticus 1, verse 3 through 5. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle. Now, just think spiritually for a moment. So we see, number one, that God is outlining what it is he ordains for you to bring as a sacrifice, as an offering. And number one, it must be a male without blemish. It must be brought with your own voluntary will. And it must be brought before the presence of God. And of course, going back through our lessons on priesthood and the place and the temple, we know God had a place ordained and there in that spot where man was created. But just hold on to these three thoughts. Number one, it had to be a male without blemish and his own voluntary will before God is the only way he could offer it. Leviticus 1 and 10. And if his, the offerer's, if his offering be of the flocks, of the sheep or the goats, for a burnt offering, sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. Now, we're seeing that God is not redundant in what he's telling us here. He is making a specific point. It will be without blemish, your offering shall be, and then you shall offer this male sacrifice. Leviticus 22 and 21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of a peace offering unto the Lord, one of the five offerings, to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in the bevies or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. So what we are about to see here is we are seeing that God is totally describing to us what sacrifice that he is accepting and how it shall always be without blemish. In Leviticus 23, verses 10 through 11, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land of which I give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheave of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheave before the Lord to be accepted for you. Now, what I want us to catch on this is these sacrifices shall be accepted for us. I want to explain what you have just looked at to really get your interest and understand the love of God. Why are these sacrifices of utmost importance, especially to us as a nation and a kingdom of priests? Because the first thing it will do is it will take all spirit of judgment out of you. You need to understand, not one time did God ever mention any requirement of the offerer.
Wow.
God's not interested in the offerer.
Wow.
Let me bring that to where we live. Until you understand the only sacrifice that God will accept, there's only certain sacrifices God accepts. And it has to be an unblemished male lamb. And therefore, we as a nation that offer up spiritual sacrifices, God has no interest in us when it comes to us offering a sacrifice. And the job of the priest was never to inspect the person that brought the offering. The job of the priest is to inspect the perfectness of the sacrifice that was going to make it acceptable. It is the sacrifice that makes you acceptable to God. That is the only thing that will ever bring you into the throne room of God, is the acceptability of the sacrifice you bring. Therefore, all of this is pointing to Calvary, and we need to understand, not one time is he interested in my blemishes, is he interested in my sin, is he interested in my mistakes. What he is interested in is that through my free will, I obeyed him, and I inspected and found a flawless, unblemished sacrifice that he had prescribed, that when I brought it would let me draw closer to God. That's enough to make you want to shout right there, because the truth of the matter is, this is what the enemy does to people whenever he gets their eyes off of, or they don't have knowledge of the Word. He is able to get them into condemnation when God only convicts. And religion will condemn you. But this is why I love teaching the Word of God, because it will allow you to answer to only one person. That is your boss. You are a priest, and you will answer to the high priest. In Genesis 4 and 7, with this knowledge now, I want us to rethink where Cain and Abel bring their offering. Was God saying, I despise Cain and I love Abel? No. Genesis 4 and 7. He tells Cain, he says, well, if you do well, shall thou not be accepted? In other words, if you'll bring the prescribed offering, then you're as accepted as your brother Abel. It's nothing personal, but he brought that I prescribed. Therefore, because he brought that I described, I have accepted him. Does that make sense? And so this is the lesson of Cain and Abel. And this is the lesson of what God is trying to let us understand, is the fact that we are to only bring what God has prescribed. Now, why are we setting forth this precedent case, this standard? Because this is all pointing to there's only one way to the Father according to the Word of God. Now, let me tell you something. When it comes to being politically correct, I can be politically correct with this statement. Look, I don't have any answers, and I'm very narrow-minded in the fact that when it comes to my belief system, I am a Bible-believing Christian. You have every right to believe and live the way you want to believe and the way you want to live. But if you ask me any questions, because my belief system is in the Word of God and in Jesus as being the only way to the Father, I have no choice but to express to you my religious belief. Now, say this, Leviticus chapter. So what we're doing is, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, then we are understanding that regardless of other faiths, if you believe in the Bible, the only thing that the Bible is going to lead to that will bring us into acceptance with God, remember, we bring an unblemished sacrifice, and that makes us acceptable. Now, we're going to turn around and we're going to see, Pastor, why do you always say that the Bible is written in the language of these five foundations? We'll see it here in just a moment. Leviticus 22 and 20. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall you not offer. It is not acceptable for you. Now, we are going to begin to understand, as we've talked about barbecue and fellowship and everyone receiving their portion, we're going to begin to understand some things about the sacrifices we may not have understood before. Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 7. According as he hath chosen us in him, jumping to the New Testament, speaking about sacrifices, making us acceptable, we didn't do anything to be acceptable. Quit trying to be acceptable. When you understand the only thing you can rejoice in is Jesus Christ, because without that acceptable sacrifice, then you couldn't draw closer to God. According as he had chosen us in him, Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, set apart, we found out that means, without blame, without blemish, before him in love. This sacrifice that I am bringing to God, I have transferred my sin. As I lay my hands, as I become one with the sacrifice, as I lay my faith on Christ, I now am looked at as blameless and spotless, because God didn't ever look at me. He looked at the blood of the sacrifice that I brought. It was acceptable, without spot, without blemish. And therefore, I have been cleansed and made acceptable through faith in the sacrificial system that God set forth. Having predestined us. In other words, God set up this system before he ever made the first man. That's the love of God. God did not create you, and I'm not speaking about financial success only here. He did not create you to fail. We are not failures. It has nothing to do with our earthly exploits of fame and fortune. God loves us, and he put forth a system whereby all that is required to be successful is something called faith. And it is your faith that you are here this morning to fuel, because without the proper fuel rods of the Word of God, you cannot grow a mature faith. So even though you're hearing this morning, whether by podcast or in these classes, you are hearing the Word of God, and you may not be understanding it all, it is going into your mind just like a program on the computer that's coming down and downloading, and it is coming in, and it is the antivirus that is coming against all of the worldly things in your mind of how you think God sees you. God doesn't see you anything like you think he sees you. He sees you in the same way a proper mother and father love a child. And he is willing that none should perish. Therefore, he has set up a flawless system with a flawless sacrifice, with a flawless plan. But he had to give you free moral choice that you free willly choose to accept this plan. There's no works of righteousness which you can do. And we can take that out of balance. Let me go on. Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. So I'm just trying to point out that when these apostles are writing these letters, you're going to see this word blemish, accepted. The same words that are used in Leviticus on the sacrifices, because they understood what you are now coming into enlightenment on. Does that make sense? What, the only thing that make you accepted, the sacrifice you're bringing. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The blood of that sacrifice is what gave us the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. So if you feel like God doesn't like you, doesn't love you, that's what Cain felt, then you need to examine if your faith is aligned with the proper thing that He has ordained. God is no respecter of persons. If you do well, it shall so be with you. And to do well is to do that is accepted. I've said it before. God does not require me to think. He requires me to follow His plan. And if I will follow His plan, let me go on. Romans 14, 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Now, what we're seeing is, and I don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm saying here, but what we are going to find out is that whenever we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the fire has fallen. This is God saying, I have accepted this sacrifice. This is why the immersion of the Spirit changes everything in our life, because it is where the power of God comes to live in us. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm not making you unsaved or a second-class citizen. I am encouraging you to make it your quest to receive this gift that Christ came to give. It is a phenomenal gift, and it can only be received through faith. And when you really begin to worship Him with all your mind, your heart, and your soul, the only requirement is to believe on Him and to have repented. Amen. You will never get good enough to receive it. You just bring the acceptable sacrifice, which is Christ. Romans 15, 16. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. The Holy Spirit is showing God's acceptance. I've accepted your sacrifice. Romans 15 and 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. In other words, he says, look, I know I'm right. I know it's okay that I've opened the door to the Gentiles. How do I know? Because that fire that fell on Solomon's altar, I was there. This same Holy Ghost, the same gift of the Holy Ghost came on them that came on us. There's no difference. So what am I saying? They are now acceptable to God. Language of the sacrifices. Language. So all these fundamental foundational things we're learning. One of the harder things to accomplish in seasoned Christians that have never received the immersion of the Holy Spirit is they have lived their whole life without this awesome infilling of power. And they almost mentally feel like they are denying that they were ever a Christian or saved, rather than to understand, wow, there's more God has to offer.
Yes.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also as lively stones. Now, let's catch what he's been telling us all this time that we've missed. We know we're a royal priesthood. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, and I'm putting in a word here, that are acceptable to God, which is Jesus Christ. Wow! Starting to all make sense. How do I know this is true? Because I have the foundation of the schoolmaster to stand on. I'm looking forward to the lesson this morning in the church next door. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him, speaking of the acceptable sacrifice, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He had no blemish. He was the male of the flock. And I with my own free will offered Him, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Three people involved. Remember, it's the offerer who slays the sacrifice. The sacrifice must be without blemish. Remember, the sacrifice is slain before God. And God's not looking at the offerer. He's looking at the sacrifice. And it's the priest that must offer the blood. Now, holding on to that, Colossians 1 and 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, Christ, I say whether they be in earth or things in heaven, that's deep. Now, I won't get into the angels, fallen angels, men in the earth. We don't even understand what all Christ did. Now, I want to give the next portion of this lesson, and I want to talk about spiritual insight into the offerings, and I'm not trying to get super spiritual here. This is my opinion. And I have found it to be true in my life, and that's all I can answer for. When God gave us these awesome bodies in which we walk and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, He gave us sight, which is such an awesome gift. But it was given to see not only physically the creation of God, but in the beginning as we interpolated what we were seeing between the mind-body-eye connection and soul, it was sight had another portion. It was had three portions. It was a threefold process. And it wasn't just brain and eye that interpolated and said what you're seeing, but also it was seen through the mind of God, so to speak, or through His creative thought. And that is, we saw through eye of the Spirit. This is why He's telling us in 1 Corinthians. You see, what you have a problem with when you've been born again and you're trying to express what the joy you found in these sacrifices and so on and so forth to someone that does not have spiritual insight, they don't see the joy that you sound, well, you're just not of this world. Exactly, you got it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. So holding on, I'm giving you this because we're going to get a little bit of spiritual insight and then we'll close. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we've got to understand that all these things that we are learning about are so that we can become the temple of God. Then when we are given this awesome privilege of Him coming to live in us, that we can respect and rightfully nurture this little piece of Almighty God that has placed in us His Spirit so it will grow in us. Now, what we are seeing here is God is telling us, but without His Spirit, you only have the spirit of a man. You'll never understand what a horse thinks. You may get good with horses, but if you were a horse, you'd understand the horse. If you were an ant, you'd understand an ant. That horse can't understand man because he has the spirit of a horse. This is maybe a poor example. So God's saying, so for you to understand what I've done and what I'm doing with only a man's spirit, you're limited. You can get good with horses, but you'll never be one. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. But that is, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. I like that. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we're going to go a little bit deeper, and we're going to get in here for a moment to this threefold process of sight, which is going to require not just our visual reading of the Word, not just our mental interpretation, but let's think spiritually here for a moment, or otherwise we will miss the opening verses of Leviticus and not understand. We won't even make sense to us. We'll think that's historically written. So when we look at this through our God connection, I want us to recognize the fact that whenever we look at the next things we're going to read about a sacrifice, that we may miss some of the importance. The next step, we have now set forth the facts in Leviticus chapter 1, just 1 through 10 I can spend several lessons on, Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, that we're now made it to verse 6. We now know that God is not looking at the offerer. He's looking at the offering. We know He can only accept what He has prescribed, and then we know that it has to be without spot and without blemish. However, we today, because we do not follow, a little condemnation here, we do not follow the dietary laws of God, and I think we should, not to be saved, but because we don't understand the dietary laws of God, what we're about to encroach upon is going to be totally foreign to us. But you've got to remember that God, in His example and in His Word and through spiritual insight, is trying to teach a concept here. And this concept is mind-blowing. In Leviticus 1 and 6, so the next step to the offering, now I've got the right offering, the priests inspected it. It is the male, I don't see any blemish. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 6, and he shall flay the burnt offering and then cut it into his pieces. Now the offerer does this action. Wow. I just saw this. You see, the priest is going to offer the blood. The priest is going to put it on the fire. But it is the offerer's free will that he must thoroughly examine the sacrifice. And this sacrifice that he's going to examine, he must get to know it very inwardly and intimately. In other words, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to remove the outer skin. Why? He's going to make sure there's no inward blemish. In other words, next the animal is dissected. Why? To reveal its internal perfectness. The two-edged sword, maybe, is what we use today. And then he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire. Now, there's at least 3 to 4 words for fire in the Hebrew, and it's interesting if you'll study these. One of them refers to bringing a sweet aroma to God, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. So I'm wanting us to examine this for a moment and understand that what I am doing, even though it's foreign to us, today if I were to eat a kosher killed animal, the animal would have suffered no pain in its death. It would have been humanely taken care of because God cares about our husbandry to His creation. Then, it wasn't enough that we didn't see any cancerous lesions on the exterior of the animal, but now we are going to dissect it to look for the portions that would really affect our health. We're going to inspect it inwardly. Don't you wish they'd do that to the stuff they're selling you at McDonald's? And so this is what we don't understand. So what we see is here is that God, here we are before God, and what we are able to see with our eyes, we have examined and we have seen this is what I have. But now God says, go deeper. Because I want you to personally, you're going to have to personally, of your own free will. In other words, you haven't brought this sacrifice until you have decided you will inspect it thoroughly. And an outward glance only is not enough of an inspection. I'm asking you to get into the heart of this matter. And that's why they came together weekly of the breaking of the bread. Because what you're doing here this morning is you were finding out, I can put my trust and I can put my faith in this manuscript in Christ Jesus because I have examined it within and without and I find no flaw. Does that make sense? So in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. So we are seeing a spiritual lesson here that we can look, and this is what legalistic religion breeds in people. That's my opinion, and I've been in legalistic religion, and they all smell alike. It doesn't matter if you're a Quaker or a this or a that or whatever. Anytime you have an outward garment that is to express your holiness, you have totally missed what holiness is. Anytime you have a man-written codification of rules that allow you to look at that and say, well, I look like this, I look like that, I look like this, you are missing the weightier matters because you do not live for God. And this is what I'm trying to get to. What God is trying to share with us, you do not become a perfect sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice, because of the outward skin. You become an acceptable sacrifice because of what's inside. And this is what God is showing us as we also are a typology of a sacrifice. We are a spiritual sacrifice. When we are laid naked upon the altar of God, God's not looking at the fact that we had a tummy tuck and our face looks good and our hair's dyed. We still look right. He is looking right through that and we are laid naked and bare. He is going right into the heart, the soul, the kidneys, He's dividing every... So let me go on. So he tells these hypocrites and he says these Pharisees, and there's nothing wrong with being a Pharisee, by the way. Jesus was of the sect of the Pharisees. It was the hypocrisy that was in these Pharisees. That's what he was against. He's against hypocrisy. He says, you look good on the outside, but you're blind. You don't have spiritual insight. You're not seeing with the Spirit of God. You've lost part of that threefold vision. He says, and you've cleansed first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So in other words, that's what he's saying. He says, if you'll take care of the inside, the outside takes care of itself. Unless you're someone that's stuck in some holiness standard, and then you're so blind you can't even... You know what's sad? Well, when you fall into legalism, you are so stuck that you can't even take time to find out what's really in someone's heart because of the way they look that doesn't look like you. Right. Let me move on. I'm telling you the truth. And you'll accept them if they want to wear, you know, a burqa in green, red, or blue. You'll get to know them out of the love of God. But boy, if you don't have on the right garment... Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, for you're like unto white graves, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones. Now, I know that you get, and of all uncleanliness. Even so, your outward appear righteous, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, I'm probably belaboring this point, but what we're going to see Christ really magnify and really impress people with is you need to work on the inner man. And only the Spirit of God can shine the searchlight, and the Word of God can show us what's really in our heart. And let me just tell you, when you really become confident in Christ, you'll become mature, and you will be able to accept yourself even though you have human flaws and human frailties, because you will understand God can work on that, but that's not what's going to let you in or out of heaven. You just need to keep faith in the sacrifice you're offering. And that will allow you to grow in God, because it'll take the pressure off of your perfection. And you need to move into maturity, love, the fruit of the Spirit, and allow anyone. Ephesians, Mark chapter 7, verse 22 to 23. So it says, theft, covetousness, wickedness. God says, all these evil things come from within. So I can go scripture after scripture in the New Testament. You don't get it because you've never offered a sacrifice. But in that day and that hour, they got it. They had all offered a sacrifice. And there were probably times, and sure there would have been, that the sacrifice they brought looked good on the outside, but when they opened it up, wasn't the right sacrifice. Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Where can my blemish be? Inside or outside? And so, as a priesthood, then we recognize, because we're gaining in this knowledge, there's a higher standard required for us. Because we recognize now, okay, we look, you know, we're not in here in halter tops that are showing almost everything we've got, and cut off blue jean shorts that you can see our cheeks. And I was pinching my face as I said that, because we have understood, hey, just by monkey see, monkey do, we get around people who are living for God, and we realize, well, this doesn't quite look acceptable. Well, this doesn't quite, but God's saying, no, 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 that's awesome. But you need to go inward. You need to work on this section. All right. Leviticus 1 and 7. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. I'm not going to get into that right now. We know that it was the priest's job to keep the fire going forever. And this laying of the wood in order, there's a lesson in that. I want to hurry through this real quickly. So when we look at the five offerings or sacrifices, same thing, korban. When we look at the five things I can draw near, draw closer to God, Leviticus 7 verse 37, we'll list all these in one verse. This is the law of burnt offering, meat offering, which is actually meal, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the consecration and sacrifice of the peace offering. Five offerings, five foundation, fivefold ministry. What's that in your hand? So real quickly, in closing, we're going to look at the trespass offering. Now, it's interesting that everything that, any accusation that you bring, when we set up our initial laws in America, they were founded greatly upon the Torah, upon the legal system that God set up. You couldn't execute anybody without an eyewitness. There always has to be, too, a witness. And so whenever God wrote the Ten Commandments, there was a reason. He didn't put all ten on one tablet. They're the two witnesses. Now, I'm headed somewhere with this, if you haven't gotten there yet. And so what we see is that they, on one tablet, are trespasses against man. On the other tablet are trespasses against God. And one of the things that, now that I'm feeling great for the first time in years, physically, one of the things that you will find out is when you don't feel good, it's harder to be nice to people. If you're around some old grumpy old sucker, they probably need a good doctor's physical. And what God is going to show us as we look inwardly and we study the sacrifices and we look at the trespass offering, we're going to examine in the next lesson what each of these offerings represent. Why are there five? In Leviticus 5:19, it is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord, but you can also trespass against man. And this is what we see in the New Testament, especially as we do during Teshuvah, the month of repentance. We see that if we bring our gift to the altar, and there remember we have aught with a brother, God says, go get it right with your brother. Then come back and get it right with me. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I want to look at a moment about this trespass offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, do we even know what that means? We take a lot for granted, don't we? And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's a portion of our job. Let's go on. Looking at trespass offering in the Old Testament. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There's a sin offering. Why, as your rabbi, your teacher, so to speak, that those of you that show up to go on to perfection, you only do move into maturity through knowledge. This is the way we grow. As a child, you cannot enter into maturity until you grow in knowledge. In God, you cannot enter into maturity until you grow in knowledge. Doesn't matter how long you have called yourself a Christian, if you've not grown in knowledge, you've not grown in maturity. And so what I am trying to bring to you is the fact that as I hammer home on these five foundations, it's not trying to make you Jewish, even though there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. It's trying to make you a product of understanding the Word that you can grow in faith and enter into maturity and have a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God because you are walking halakha and you understand what it is that pleases Him, which then in turn pleases you. So, we find out we've been quickened by the sacrifice we have brought because we were dead in trespasses and sin. Colossians 2:13, I'm sure you read ahead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I was dead in my sin, and now I've been forgiven my trespasses. So what is a trespass? We've got five offerings, five sacrifices. I mean, why couldn't we just bring one? Wouldn't that take care of everything? There's a reason. And the reason we will dig deeper into as we enter into lesson 3 on the sacrifices. Hope something said here will pique your interest, make you a greater Christian. God bless.